You are now tuned in to Red Sea Radio, Fairfield University's only student-run podcast covering all things Fairfield athletics. On today's episode, Kyle and Jack discuss your MAC women's champions, the Fairfield Stags, as well as Fairfield men's basketball's finals two games. They also discuss St. Peter's Cinderella run in the March Madness tournament and what that means for their school and for the MAC as a whole. You can hear all that and more right now on Red Sea Radio. All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio. We're back again after a week off on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Week off, but we're back. How's it feel to be back in the studio?
Feels good. Well, you know, now it's the home stretch of our college career, so now I'm at like a loss of like things to do, like things to look forward to, things to do.
Yeah, we were just talking about our post-spring break depression that's hit. Now that we have only a few weeks left here, a few weeks left with the show, kind of sad too. But we do have a interesting little show today. Not sure how long it'll run, but we do got to discuss a few things. Fairfield basketball season has come to a close, but the MAC is not done yet.
Mm-mm.
So you can look forward to that today on the show.
We joked that, like, we said in the last show we had, hey, Fairfield season won't be over if they make it to the Sweet 16. We'll have another show about them. And
yeah, we just joked about that.
We just got the wrong MAC team.
Yeah, we weren't wrong about the MAC. We were just wrong about Fairfield being there. But, yeah, we're going to talk about all that today. So let's start with the men's side, Fairfield. We haven't discussed any of their MAC games because our last show was right before that tournament started. So Fairfield in the first round, they took care of business against Canisius. They won 72-50. This game kind of, I'd say, put some false hope into Fairfield fans' minds going into the next day.
We were definitely confident.
Because I think we had no confidence going into the tournament that they would really progress far. But once they beat Canisius by 22, we were kind of going into that St. Peter's game feeling
a little bit better about ourselves. Help that we were like all-time low on St. Peter's, I feel like, in that tournament.
Us?
Looking at what they are now, we were like way, way too low on them.
Yeah, I mean, we did pick them to go to the finals.
No, we thought they were good.
We did correctly pick the finals, too, our show, but we didn't pick the winner.
We knew they were good for the MAC, but, like, we were, like, whole thing was, like, pick Monmouth because they would have done better in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, we even tweeted that, like, you know, I tweeted, like, oh, once they won, I was like, oh, they're probably going to get killed in the first round because they, you know, don't score a lot. And I didn't think their defense would translate to against, like, a better team like that. Like, obviously they have good defense in the MAC, but I didn't think they would be able to hold it up.
I was looking at stats. They have a good defense just in
the country.
And just, like, the country, yeah. I was looking at, like, KenPom rankings. They're, like, top 30 in the country in defense.
I just didn't think that would translate to, like, playing Kentucky, you know what I mean?
No, I agree. The craziest thing is that they have been able to play at their own. Like, they've been able to basically control the pace of games against teams like Kentucky and Murray State. Like, teams that are obviously have more talent. But, like, they've been able to play at their own pace. I mean, 70-60 in their round of 32 game, low scoring. 85-39 for an overtime game against a team with, like, Kentucky. Again, another pretty low-scoring game. Like, you would have thought if their path to winning would be, like, kind of outscoring the other teams, like, having some crazy scoring run. But it's just been led by the defense, which is the craziest thing.
Yeah, I know. But even for them to score, like, you know, 79-70,
it's a
still
lot
impressive.
It's a lot for them.
You know, their offense has definitely come alive way more in this tournament than, like, it has during the season, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like they weren't great offensively during the season. It was always their defense. But now they're actually getting, like, an identity on offense. And, like, you know, they're having guys, like, I think Banks dropped, like, 27 against Kentucky.
Yeah, their guard play has been the most surprising.
Eddard's been playing really well. So it's been surprising to me how well they've done on offense compared to, like, kind of what we saw during the season. But back to Fairfield, we'll talk about St. Peter's later on. Back to Fairfield, in that Canisius game, you know, you had Taj, he scored 15, Cruz had 19, Caleb had 10. Those are some of the guys we were saying, like, needed to come along in the tournament for us to have a chance. So it was good to see them kind of have good games. But you had Jake with the injury, who we had lost. And then we had Allen, who got injured during that game, which really put us at a disadvantage for the next day. I guess we didn't really need it against Canisius, but going into that next day, having both of them, you know, Jake played a little bit, Allen didn't play at all. It's pretty tough. Supreme only had 2 points against Canisius. So, overall, that game, I just thought that would have been, like, a tragedy if we lost that one, like,
yeah,
for Fairfield's, just,
and
like...
For, like, a program that's, like, kind of building still, I think we'd say that they're building, they're early in their process, kind of, with this new coach, like, newish coach. Like, getting to the second round consistently is a good kind of bar to set. Like, consistently getting past the first round would be kind of where I would like to be permanently kind of throughout the years.
For me, more, I would like to be there. I think winning that first game is, like, a necessity. Like,
yeah.
If you don't win that first game, that's, like, a major failure for the season.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, I wouldn't be also just content getting to that second game.
No, not either. At all. But, like, it's basically, like, you're avoiding disaster by winning that first game. And the next game, especially with the bad matchup they got, it's tough. Like, you know they could win, but it's just, like, just kind of can't really do much.
Yeah, I mean, in this specific season, it's like, yeah, we didn't really expect to beat St. Peter's in that second round. Even when we picked our brackets, we kind of knew that they were going to beat us in the second round. But just going forward, you know, I think obviously the goal is always to win, but I think, like, one win, if you don't get the bye, first of all.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
One win is, like, a necessity. Like, if they don't get that win, it's an absolute, like, just failure for the season. But then I think I wouldn't be, like, just content getting that first play-in game win and then losing, like, for, you know,
and
however many years.
I think them losing in the championship now 2 years ago, or
yeah,
last year, I guess you could still call it, it kind of, like, put them ahead of schedule. So now, you're comparing everything to that last year. Where,
yeah, and it's not always going to happen.
And, like
they,
I would argue that this team this year was better than last year's team.
At times, I guess.
I think with TJ and, like, I think that, and Chrysler for full years and Wojcik for full years, I think this team was better overall.
Yeah, I guess it depends, because certain players didn't play. As, like, Taj, for example, played better last year, though.
But yeah, so did Wojcik. So did Cruz,
yeah,
necessarily. Like, as an overall season, I think they had a better year this year, but due to the postseason they had last year.
I think Cruz played better this year, though.
I mean, Cruz did have some crazy shots last year in the run, but...
Oh, yeah, I just meant season.
Oh. Yeah, season definitely played better this last year. Or are you saying last year he played better?
He played better this year.
Or this year,
but
yeah,
I was
yeah,
saying, like, Taj played better last year, Jake played better last year from a season-wide standpoint.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I'd say this team's better than last year's team. I think they were both had their flaws, obviously, and they just went on a run last year. But this year, I mean, it started super promising, and then it just kind of, like, fell off the tracks.
Yeah, it's kind of like the law of averages. Like, it averaged out. Like, you start off super hot, you go on a cold streak. It's no different than losing, winning, which
was
like it was
like
last year.
Going forward, how do we fix that, you know, so that we're a consistent team?
I mean, we talked about this before, like, all the close games they played, you flip a couple of them, the season looks a lot better.
Yeah.
So it's, like, not like they were getting run out of the gym. They were blowing teams out, getting run out of the gym. It was just, like, things started to not go their way at a point.
Yeah. So I guess finishing off those games is, like, the key. And we'll have the full season review probably next week. Hopefully we'll get Frank on here, too. We'll do a full season review. But sticking to these, like I said, you know, Canisius Fairfield, it was just kind of like a must-win game. And I wasn't nervous going into it or anything.
I was confident. I thought Canisius was the best matchup they could have gotten.
Yeah, I was very confident. I think Canisius wound up being kind of like the worst team in the league this year, even though like, seeding-wise, it didn't work out that way.
No, Quinnipiac.
Because Quinnipiac, and then they won two games, so.
But, like, even if you look at the teams, like, Canisius was close with, like, us, Ryder, Quinnipiac, like, I would say all three of those teams are, like, obviously better than Canisius.
Yeah, I think they wind up being they're like consistently to me too since we've been here like the not least very scary
good.
Team.
I mean, Malik Green is pretty good, but
just in general, they've been like the least scary team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like we've never like feared playing them.
Every other team has had a stretch where we've been like they're very good. They could cause problems for Fairfield. I've never had that feeling playing as Canisius.
Canisius, yeah. So that was kind of a take care of business game. Also, Quinnipiac went far in this one. We had to know. We did pick, like, or I don't know if it was just me, but we picked that whoever won that first round game, Quinnipiac Marist, would kinda beat Siena.
Yeah.
I just picked it wrong and I did Marist, but we almost had that one right of Quinnipiac going to the, what is it, semifinals?
Yeah,
and then they lost to St. Peter's.
There was some early March Madness in this MAC bracket.
It was a good tournament.
It was a very a lot of parity. I mean, look. Okay, Iona lost in the second.
Yeah,
Iona lost before Fairfield did, technically. So
hours before we were alive. Hours after Iona, our season spanned, not technically because they played in the NIT, but our MAC season spanned a few more hours than theirs. So that was pretty nice, but. Just in general, I mean, I didn't even expect Ryder to have the type of tournament they had. We expected Manhattan to beat them, and then we said Manhattan would give Iona a run. And on both sides of the bracket, we were kind of right while being wrong.
Yeah, we were
we
right.
We said Manhattan would give them a run, and it wound up being Ryder. And then we said that Siena would lose to Marist, but it wound up being Quinnipiac. So
right,
we were like roundabout kind of right about that, but we were also wrong. We just picked the wrong teams to win the play-ins. So we honestly didn't do that bad in our picks, if you look back at it. We didn't do too bad. What other games were, like, noteworthy to say? I mean, the Iona game was awesome. I was watching that one.
That one, Ryder game, yeah.
I was watching that one. Our whole house was screaming, cheering against Iona. And I know it was kind of controversial at the end whether Murray traveled or not, or what is it, 3 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really like
your Iona. You're the one seed. Like, take care of business.
I also don't think it's a call they're gonna make in that time, like a 3 second call. Yeah. Like that's like a very rare. That's a rare call in general.
Yeah.
You know, for referees to make, like you don't even see that call a lot. In general, and then for them to make it in like a crunch time, you know, last second type of thing, it's just, you know, not a good enough excuse for, like you said, a team that probably should have just won easily. You know what I mean?
It's going to be one of their best teams they'll have in a while. Like I mean, look at their NIT; they almost beat Florida in Florida. Like, there's no excuse for them not to win that conference this year.
And it's crazy, you know, I see a lot of Iona fans on Twitter kind of upset because they're saying, like, we swept St. Peter's, so, like, we would be making some real noise right now in the tournament.
I think I saw Siena say that as well. Or not Siena fans. I feel someone else said something about that with sweeping St. Peter's this year. It might have been Siena.
Yeah.
I don't know if they swept them or not.
I definitely saw Iona people saying, you know, we swept them, like, we'd be making noise right now. But, I mean, you don't know when it comes to that. Also, Iona probably wouldn't have been in the same.
They would have been a 14. They would have played a completely different team. So it's like impossible to compare.
Yeah, and you know,
and
we'll
they
never
also
know
just don't have the same players, don't have the same coach. Like, it doesn't even equate to anything. That's why it's just like a ridiculous. We joke about it as Fairfield fans just because it's funny, but we don't actually believe that if Fairfield were to win the tournament, they would. Be in the Sweet 16 also.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
no.
It's, like, an impossible comparison.
So, yeah, we had, obviously, Ryder beat Manhattan, which we didn't pick, but then, and Fairfield Canisius we picked. Quinnipiac Marist we didn't pick. And then we said that Iona would have some trouble in that first round, so it wound up being 71-70 to Ryder, which was the upset of the tournament, I guess, by far. And then St. Peter's went on to beat us. Quinnipiac beat Siena, which we kind of called, like I said. Monmouth-Niagara, that was a pretty good game, too. I watched that whole game, and we picked Monmouth to win the tournament, but I kind of found myself pulling for Niagara just because it was kind of like a... I felt like it was a bigger upset, or it would have been a bigger upset than a 4-5. Like, I feel like if Niagara knocked off Monmouth in the first round, I feel like that would be pretty In terms of the MAC, it would be a lot bigger upset than the seeding kind of says. And then Monmouth obviously went on to beat Rider. Another really good game. I was kind of pulling for Rider again as like the Cinderella team, but I think it wound up giving us a better final that the two better teams played each other. But then St. Peter's went on to beat Quinnipiac. And then finally St. Peter's and Monmouth played, and St. Peter's won. Monmouth shot so bad in that game, in that final. Mm-hmm. And I guess you got to give it to St. Peter's for defending them well. Pappas didn't have a good final game. He even had a poor semifinal, but he picked it up in the second half. His first half was terrible, and then he came back in the second half, and they narrowly beat Ryder. So that's kind of how the MAC shaped up. As we mentioned, we went on to play St. Peter's to end our season 77-63 in what was probably the worst first half of basketball that Fairfield's played since we've been at this
here?
School.
Yeah.
I honestly think that could be true. They started this game so bad. What was the first run? Like 8-0?
They started off up 11-0.
We started making a joke, we're not going to score all game because...
Man, I was worried about getting, like, 20 points. I was legitimately, like, worried
about...
Yeah,
we were saying, like, we're probably not going to score all game as a joke, but then it, like, kept going on. 11-0 start. What was the halftime score?
It was...
44-19?
44-19.
So, you know, I mean, we were on pace to, you know, if they didn't score for the rest of the game and we just doubled our first half, we still would have lost. Because that's how poor we played in the first half. Second half, we wound up beating them 44-33. But like we mentioned, the, you know, gap was too wide to close at that point. They played so much better in the second half. And now after seeing what St. Peter's has done, it's kind of sad not ever knowing. You know, I mean, because you could say what if all you want, but it's never, obviously, going to change anything and you'll never know. But you're going to ask yourself, what if Fairfield played like that second half team the whole game? And what would have happened if we beat St. Peter's, knowing that now they went on to, you know, not only win the MAC, but win two tournament games, still be playing on Friday. So I guess it's frustrating, but it was nice to see them play like a completely different team in the second half. Cause I mean, we were ready to give up on them, you know, at halftime. But I just couldn't stop watching the game. I, like, wanted to because it was just so frustrating. But I couldn't stop watching the game just morally. And then they started going on a little run. They kept dragging me in. You know, they got it to as close as what, like?
12, I think, at one point.
It's definitely lower than that. It was down to, like, 9.
Are you sure about that?
7. I think it was down to at least 9. Or 8. We had it down, like...
Dude, I don't know,
close.
Man.
I don't know if you look at, like, the game tracker.
I'm looking at
tracker.
It right now. I thought I saw the lowest was, like, 11.
Maybe that was the lowest. I feel like we had it down to, like, 8 at some point. Whatever it was, we had it down to, like, a very doable with time left. I think around 6 minutes.
They were down 12 with 6 minutes left, which is honestly very doable. 12 with 6 minutes, that's more than enough time.
Yeah, 12 with 6 minutes. I think there was like a timeout, and I remember like thinking to myself, like, this, we could really do this, like, if we, you know, just kind of get it together on defense and just keep scoring, because we were scoring at that point pretty well. And I think from that point on is when it kind of went downhill for us, and then obviously towards the end, we were kind of just out of it, and then we had to just kind of throw up some shots. And, you know, but around that 6-minute mark, I really thought that we had a legitimate chance to come back in this game and win. So it was just really frustrating the first half because, like I said, if they even put in, like, if they played decent in the first half, not even good, but if they played decent
they
in the first
it,
half,
like, semi close,
if they played half. As good as, like, if they played just decent, this game would have been, came down to the wire. Not saying we would have won, but it definitely would have came down to the wire. Because it already was kind of almost coming down to the wire, and we were down 20 in the first half. So, I don't know. It's very frustrating, but like I said, we'll never, ever be able to change anything about it or go back. And, you know, it is what it is. At least you go out to the, you know, the champs. But Taj had 19 in this one. You know, he played a good game. I guess he kind of had a good tournament. He had some threes late to try to bring us back. And it was sad to see. I watched the post game. You know, it was sad to see him in there, you know, crying. Because, you know, for us, that's like Taj and Cruz, really. It's like all we've known since we've been here. They've been like the face of the team since before we've been here. Or not, they weren't the face of the team their freshman year, but like since we've been here, pretty much. They've been like some of the faces of the team. And, you know, I know like alumni listen to this podcast and whatnot, but for us, we've never seen a Fairfield team without Taj and Cruz, you know, playing significant minutes on the team. So it's going to be really weird next year for us to watch Fairfield and you know, they're not on the team. And they've had their ups and downs, but they always give their best. They always were good leaders, played with a lot of heart. So it was really weird to see them go. And, you know, it was sad to see that post-game press conference with Taj, you know, talking about what Fairfield's meant to him and just how upset he was that they lost. And one thing he said that was kind of stuck out to me, he said that that second half team was like, that was their team. Like, that's like the Fairfield team that he, you know, came to know and that they were this year. Like, that was basically the first half team wasn't really like them. It wasn't like a accurate representation of them.
I mean, it wasn't. You could tell if you watch them all year, they're not 30 points worse than St. Peter's.
Yeah. I mean, they only lost by what? 14?
Yeah.
But you're saying, like, oh, you're saying at the half, at the like, being almost 20, yeah. 20 plus worse, 25 points?
I mean, they gave them good games throughout the year, or a good game when we went.
Yeah, not that second game, but the one we went to
yeah.
on ESPNU. They definitely could, you know, stick with that team. And you know, that first half performance, like, they just played so poorly on both ends that it, like, you know, St. Peter's played well, but it was almost like we just beat ourselves in one half. And it just sucks that it's almost, like, insurmountable at that point, because no matter how good they played, and they played pretty good in the second half, no matter how good they played, it would have had to been, like, a monumental second half to come back and win that one. So,
yeah, nearly impossible.
So it's tough, and it's tough to see them go. You know, the seniors, I think Caleb Green, too, you know. But for Taj and Cruz, it's just so weird. It's going to be so weird for us because that's, like, all we've known mm-hmm. as Fairfield basketball fans. Like, you know, a lot of people listening probably have seen a lot of players come and go. You know, players better than Taj and Cruz that, you know, probably meant a lot to them. But just for our perspective, it's just weird to see them go because, you know, every Fairfield game we've watched for the last 4 years has been them. It's going to be weird next year. And also they got, you know, now we have to fill some big shoes with new players or players moving up in the rotation. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a very different team next year. So I'm excited for it. I think change is going to be good for us because I don't know if we just really couldn't get over the hump with the team we had. You know, we got to the final last year, but it just wasn't good enough. But it's also sad to see change, especially when it's like, you know, the two kind of faces of the team that you've seen the whole time here. So that's how I felt about that. And then I don't know if you want to say anything else about Fairfield's tournament thing, but we'll save like the season review for next week. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, it'll be weird to see the team next year. It's gonna be a lot of turnover. Probably the most turnover we've had since we've been here. Maybe
probably
after Landon and all of them left. Maybe, but I mean, Cruz and Taj have been a mainstay in the starting lineup since, what, sophomore year?
Since we've been here. I mean,
Cruz up back and forth, but, I mean,
they still played a good amount our freshman year.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if like people expect them to take a step back because they left, or giving minutes to new guys would kind of give them a step forward. It'll be interesting to see. Because, I mean, as much as we complain about their play sometimes, it's like they were consistent.
And I think it's like we were more critical on them because of the because they were like some of our best players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we're not going to criticize like Allen as harshly like every week, or like someone that's like more of a role player, because you don't expect as much out of them. But then like guys like Taj and Cruz, we have such high expectations for them because they were, you know, like the faces of the team or whatever, the leaders. So that's why we'd be more critical of them on the show. But like you said, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see next year, because who's going to step up too, and who's going to be the leader next year?
It's just like interesting, like who's going to play point guard? Like, because I mean, this transfer portal is still like a thing. So like, you never know, like, are they going to bring in transfers? Are they going to let the younger guys take big steps? Like, you really don't know.
Yeah, and I think if we have Frank on next week, he'll be able to give us some insight on the incoming freshman for next year too, because I know that we have some exciting freshmen that I see people talking about like online and stuff about their games and how well they're doing. So we'll get some insight on that next week. But it's interesting because like those guys aren't going to come in and be the leaders.
No, not at
obviously.
All. Like it's going to be Supreme. It's going to be Mido. It's going to be like TJ probably take a step up in leadership. Like it's going to be.
We just haven't seen any of those guys like as vocal though this year or through their careers. Maybe Mido a little bit, but and I feel like Supreme's more of like a laid back guy.
I mean,
I feel like Jake too. I feel like we don't see them be like leaders on the court as much. And you know, Caleb was obviously a big leader on the court, and then Cruz and Taj were. So
I think the point guard position is going to be the most interesting like development for next year. It's like, because like really, who's going to be our Caleb was like kind of like a mainstay, like point guard. Like he played almost every minute, always bring the ball up, always was initiating the offense. Like you really saw someone other than him do it. And if it wasn't him, it was Taj.
Yeah, I mean, who is it going to be? Could they slide Jalen to be a point guard?
I guess, but I mean, with his injuries, do you really trust him to be just like your 30-minute night guy? And to like Sivas get minutes next year? Like it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's going to have to.
He'll have to. I mean, unless they're multiple freshmen they believe can run the offense, Sivas will have to take a big step.
So that'll be interesting. I'm excited to talk about that all next week. But, yeah, it's definitely a good conversation to have, because I feel like there's no true leader that's going to step up. Like,
I mean, there's still a lot of time. I mean, guys, like, going from, like, guys growing up and getting older, they will probably take on a leadership role.
Yeah, and someone's going to have to, too. You can't have no one be a leader, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on, and we'll talk about that next week. Let's move over now to the women's side. We did have a happy ending over there. We had crowned the MAC champions, Fairfield, first time since 2001, I believe. Incredible season for the women's team. They started off the tournament against Iona, beat them by a score of 69-56. And then they played Niagara, who had beaten Siena. I was worried because Siena, I think, was our one tournament or our one conference loss all year. Didn't have to play them. Played Niagara. Wound up winning 75-38. And then in the MAC tournament final, it was a bit of a scare, I'd say, going into that one, because they played Manhattan. And it was close at times. It was close all the way till the end. Fairfield was down.
They really cut it down towards the end.
Well, Fairfield was down in the beginning of that game. And I was watching it. I think first quarter, second quarter, they were losing. And, you know, I'd seen them play Manhattan. I worked the game when they played Manhattan at Webster Bank Arena. And I remember we won that one pretty comfortably. So we won that one 70-55. So I was like going into this one, I was like, we're probably going to win pretty easily. Like that's just the team we are this year in the MAC. Like we're just way better than everyone else this year. But that's not the way it wound up being at all. We were down 17-8 after the first quarter. But then we led from there on out. or well, not led. We won every quarter from there on out. We won 18-14, 21-16, and 26-21 in the next three quarters. But Dede Davis for Manhattan had, like, majority of their points. She had 35. And that was kind of like the one player who was kind of never letting Fairfield put them out of the game, I'd say. But overall, you know, they wound up winning. It was nice to see, you know, them all celebrating on the court. It would have been really sad if they came this far and then lost in the final just because of the season they've had. But they got it done. Lou Lopez scored 24, and then Sidney Lowry had 18 in that one. And I believe Lou was the player of the tournament, I believe. And, you know, much deserved for her. She's had a great career. And it was nice for them to send Coach Frager out on top, too. I would actually like to get him on the show. I feel like that would be an interesting talk. Interview. So I'm not sure the terms of his retirement, like if he's done as of today, you know, but if we can still get some help and get him on the show, I think that would be pretty cool if we can do that in the next, like, coming month or few weeks.
I have time to do it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, now he's on vacation, so, or now he's on retirement, so.
He's got all the time in the world.
So he's got time to do it, and so I hope we can get him on the show. That would be pretty cool. But it's nice to send him out on top, and our also our senior class. I mean, we graduated seven seniors who are all very, very good players, very, very involved with the team. So their team, too, next year is going to be completely different than it was this year because you graduated not only seven seniors, but seniors who played
big-time contributors,
big-time minutes. So someone like Lou, who was probably like one of the one of the best women's players of all time here. Obviously, we don't know the history as much as some of you guys do, but I would say probably one of the best women's players of all time at this school. So it's going to be tough to replace and tough to replace, you know, a coach as well. So their team's going to look very, very different next year, even more so than the men's side. But going into the tournament, they matched up against Texas, which obviously, you know, is going to be tough. Two seed playing at Texas, too, which is even harder.
I mean, the early games are at the home arenas of the top seeds, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if it was like a neutral court, it would have been probably a little bit easier.
Just a little less intimidating, probably.
I think they would have fared a little bit better in a neutral court because to start this game, the tournament game this past Friday, they looked pretty nervous at the beginning. Like they played pretty poorly in the first couple quarters, and it wasn't just like shooting poorly or whatever. They played kind of like they were almost nervous or shocked to be in like that setting.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, look at like you're playing like this huge arena in Texas, ton of fans there. It's like there's reason to be nervous.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. And that's why, you know, they went down. They were 14-9 after the first. And then they lost the second quarter 25-9. So, you know, similar to what we just talked about with Fairfield St. Peter's, it's a tough deficit at halftime to try to come back from. And, you know, again, they did a really good job in the second half of narrowing that deficit and at times making it a game that you felt like they could come back and possibly, you know, make a game and possibly win. I think they were, I don't know how low they got it down to, but it was at a point where, again, maybe I'm just an unrealistic Fairfield fan when it comes to this game and the St. Peter's game, but it got to a point where I was like, I think they could possibly pull this one out, you know, and one of the things that hurt them too was that Lou got hurt in the first half and missed a very good portion of the first half, and then she came back and she still dropped 17 in a game that she almost played like half a game, so she still had a good game. But I think her losing her in the first half was a very tough you know, assignment because that's your best player, it's your best scorer. But you know, they lost 70-52. I don't know if I'd say that really reflects the game they played, because they played really well. I think they really pushed Texas more than...
and they... What was it down to at one point? Later in the game, it got down...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know... I would have to look it up on ESPN. Because it did get down to, like, I want to say, like, 11, maybe 12-ish. Similar to Fairfield-St. Peter's, where it was, like, it felt pretty doable at a certain point. But let's see. Right around the fourth quarter, they were down 10. They got it down to 10 with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
So, I mean,
I don't know if that's the closest that it was. But I know I could see it was at least 10. 46-56. And then from there, Texas started to break it open with 7 minutes left. But going from, like, the third quarter into the fourth quarter, they had all the momentum. Because, you know, they outscored them 23-15 in the third quarter. They had all the momentum going into the fourth. And then even in there, you know, they cut it down to 10. And I think that's when we might have tweeted around then, like watch out, like, the Stags are coming, something like that. And from there, it kind of just... it fell off. But, I mean, it's tough when you're competing with a team like that. You can only compete for, like, so long without it, like, breaking open like that. And I did see someone say, it might have been Frank, actually, who tweeted, like, the kind of the disparity at the women's level of college basketball is a little bit bigger. Like, the difference between, like, a 2 seed and a 15 seed is usually, like, a lot bigger. There's usually not as, like, the games aren't usually, like, this close. Mm-hmm. And that... first, I think he kind of said too, it speaks to the fact that, like, Fairfield probably should have been a higher seed than 15. For the fact that they gave Texas such a good game, they probably could have been a 14-13 seed. And then I think they just proved to the committee and to, you know, anyone watching that, like, they really were a great team this year because they were able to push a top team, you know, mm-hmm. as far as they did. Whereas you don't really see those upsets as much in the women's side from, like, that big of a seed. I mean, South Carolina just beat whoever they played in the first round. They beat them, like, 70-something
to 20.
Yeah,
I saw some crazy scores from the 116 games.
The halftime was, like...
it was, like, 48-8
or something.
Or four.
It was something crazy.
I know they were, like, at, like, single digits to, like, halftime.
But the final score was, like, a good 70-something to, like, 21. So for this to be a 15-2 game and for it to end, you know, didn't necessarily end pretty close, but in the fourth quarter be a 10-point game, it speaks to the fact that Fairfield probably should have been a higher seed and just speaks to how good they were this season. I guess probably one of the best seasons that, you know, on the women's side and just in general in Fairfield basketball history, for them to have one conference loss, win the regular season, win the MAC, and put up a good fight in the tournament. Definitely a memorable season. And that's why I said I want to have Coach on to run through kind of what he was thinking throughout the season. So congratulations to them. It was very nice to watch. We've been privileged now being here because we've got to see, you know, a MAC championship for women's basketball. We got to see Fairfield baseball go to the tournaments. We got to see two, like, major programs go to the tournament, and then obviously, like, other programs here do as well, like women's LAX, stuff like that. But on, like, the major stuff that, like, we talk about on here, we've got to see two of those teams go to the tournament. So we've been pretty privileged throughout our 4 years, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say
some
so.
Some success.
Women's did their job when we were here.
Yeah, and baseball, so... it was good to see. It was good to cheer on. It's always like a, you know, as a Fairfield sports fan, it's always a good day when you could, you know, repost some championship highlights, celebrations, stuff like that. It's very enjoyable and, you know, it's cool to see Fairfield play Texas. Like, all week on SportsCenter, they'll have, like, the banner going with, like, all the games.
Scores.
Yeah, and, like, the lead up to March Madness, they had, like, all the games going, and it would be like Fairfield versus Texas Friday night at 7 or whatever, And like just to see Fairfield keep popping up on the banner of Sports Center and whatever, it's really cool to see, you know, because like stuff like that doesn't really happen for us a whole lot. So it's awesome, and it's great for the school, and it's great for people like us who just enjoy to see Fairfield sports doing well. And they even had Fairfield Prep was like number one or something on the Sports Center top 10 last week. And like the Fairfield Texas banner like lined up perfectly at the same time. Like while they were showing the Fairfield Prep highlight, it had like Fairfield versus Texas under it. So that was pretty cool too to see. So again, congratulations to them. Congratulations to Coach Frager, and congratulations to all the seniors on incredible careers. And by going out on top, that's like a, it's like a storybook ending, you know, for all of them, for the coach and for all the seniors.
And on the big stage.
Going out with a win in the MAC, and then going out with a pretty solid game in the tournament. Like, you couldn't really ask for more if you were them. So congratulations to them again. And I hope we can have Coach Frager on the show at some point. I'll have to reach out and ask about that. So that's going to do it for that. I guess for the last couple minutes here before we close the show, we could talk about St. Peter's a little bit, just because I feel like the MAC is rallying behind St. Peter's. You see some of our Twitter friends changing their names
I think
pro St. Peter's.
I think most of the MAC is pro, like, rooting for St. Peter's. I've seen a few people be like anti-Peters.
Well, I think Monmouth fans are pretty salty.
I saw a couple Monmouth accounts not be too happy with it, but...
And I think Iona fans, some of them are a little salty too, because they feel like they could have gone farther.
Maybe after the first game, they were a little salty, but I think Sweet 16 now, I think mostly everyone is rooting for Peters in the MAC.
Yeah, I mean, I was upset they beat us, obviously, but once they won the MAC, I was pretty on board to root for them. I know we made like a, I know we said they would probably lose in the first round,
but I mean,
but I didn't want them to lose.
Yeah, it was just like a,
it was just a statement.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a ridiculous thing to say that they weren't a good matchup for Kentucky, which, I mean, even though they won, I don't think any team's a good matchup versus like the National Player of the Year and like five-star future NBA players,
Hall of Fame coach and stuff. Yeah, I mean,
it's not like we were like hating on them.
I just thought they were going to get blown out, but I did. I was rooting for them.
Oh yeah, when they were going overtime or when they were cutting it close at the end, like I was genuinely rooting for them.
Yeah,
I Kentucky my championship in my bracket, so I was especially like cut in between. I was still rooting for them.
I didn't think it was going to be close, and then you were texting me like it's close.
So
I was like walking down the streets of Florida, like with like St. Peter's versus Kentucky on my phone, like on the ESPN app, like. Like, watching it, like, I was very invested in the game once it came down to it, and I was very much rooting for them. So, you know, I guess that's kind of how the rest of the MAC probably felt, too. Like, once they got in it, you might as well root for them. It's good for the league, and also it's kind of like a feel-good.
They make a ton of money for the MAC.
Yeah. Yeah, you sent me that, like, what is it, $4 or $6 million?
Yeah, something around that.
And, you know, it's like a feel-good story for them, too, because... They're like a kind of underfunded program. They don't have a great gym. Like they aren't a great.
I say another thing. It was like it's like the biggest gap in spending on a basketball program, like win ever. Like they were compared to like Oral Roberts and whoever they beat in the first Ohio State, and then like Florida Gulf Coast and Georgetown when they were the 15 and beat the two. It's like quadruple the difference.
Well, because I saw Kentucky's assistants all make more than Holloway.
Oh, like, for sure, yeah.
Like, they make, like, a lot more money than, like, their assistants.
I think Calipari probably makes...
Oh, he makes, like...
10 times as much.
He makes, like, in the millions, I think. And Holloway's, like, said, like, 250?
Yeah.
250,000, something like that. So, that gap was crazy. And then it showed, like, St. Peter's gym versus Kentucky's, like, arena.
They were just
crazy.
Showing. I saw like bars of people looking at the campus of St. Peter's. Just like it's like one road, and they were like, it's just a street, and these guys beat Kentucky. Like their campus is literally just one street.
Yeah, and we said that Doug Ettert would probably be like a meme.
We joked that like if they were to win, Doug Ettert would be the meme.
And he is now. You see him on Barstool and stuff.
And part of my take interviewed Holloway, and they were talking about his mustache, and they're like, I think Big Cat River's like, he looks like he should be selling cigarettes at 7-Eleven.
They just interviewed him?
Like, today. Like,
really?
Came out today. Or yesterday, oh, wow. Yesterday.
That's interesting. I'm surprised he'd do that, like, while the season's still kind of happening. I know he has a few days off, but...
Yeah, he's got a whole week. Or not
I'm
a week,
surprised.
4 days.
I'm surprised they would do that.
It was a quick one. It wasn't very long. And he didn't seem like he was too invested in it, to be honest.
Yeah. He's very focused.
Yeah.
Them in this tournament, it's like... We tweeted about it, too, is that they're so comfortable. And I think it's probably him. He probably has a lot to do with it, getting them prepared for it. They seem so comfortable, like, for a 15 seed against, like you said, against Kentucky, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were so, so comfortable and not scared. And like
calm,
you said, they control their pace. Like, they didn't change their game to,
no,
like,
not at all.
Accommodate
I mean,
for Kentucky.
They played the same way we saw them play all year. In the MAC, and except it's just on a bigger stage against a better team.
Yeah.
And which is like a
it's
crazy
so impressive
thing. Yeah.
Like how well they handle that. I don't know. I just feel like most teams wouldn't be as comfortable as they are. They look so comfortable, and they deserve to be comfortable. They're playing
I mean, they
really well.
They were legitimately better than Murray State in that round of 32. Like, they, like, look just, like, much better, which is, like, crazy. Like, they're just, like, it's just, like, how good they look.
Yeah, I watched that whole game. I was watching it on the plane a little bit, and I was watching it on my phone. And, like, they just looked better the whole time to a point where when it came down to the end and it started getting closer, I was like, I really hope Murray State doesn't come back and win this game because they didn't really even deserve to win that game. Like, Murray State would not have deserved to win that game.
No, not at all.
St. Peter's played better, like, almost pretty much the entire time. So I was happy they were able to stick it out because – that would have been upsetting if they, like, came back at the end and, like, won and shut down their season. So, yeah, I mean, just them being so comfortable has been incredible. I mean, it's crazy, too, with Kentucky. I mean, Ndefo didn't play, like, a very long period of time because he had foul trouble.
A lot of them were in foul trouble that Kentucky game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Any of the fans online who are hating on St. Peter's?
Oh, yeah, it's the foul. It was like the fouling. They were like, oh, they're not going to get those. Like, they thought they got away with a lot of contact, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is like, in the MAC, St. Peter's gets away with a lot of fouls. I mean, even to a certain sense, they did against Fairfield.
I mean, there's a physical team. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's the reason why whoever was hating, people who were hating on them were hating the fact that
I did see a tweet about
they're
that.
Finally getting the foul calls, and that's why, like, Ndefo didn't get to play a lot against Kentucky. Different guys were in foul trouble. So, yeah, I mean, I think didn't Drame foul out?
I think one
against
of the, one
Murray
of the
State? Or did he
one
foul
of the Drames
Kentucky?
Did.
He might have fouled out against Murray State. I don't know. But either way, I mean, for them to get the fouls called on them and still win –
yeah,
is even.
I mean, their guard.
Better.
It's just like their guard play, and which is what, like, we mentioned, like, how much better their guard play has been this year compared to past years, because it's always their bigs have always been great.
Yeah,
like Banks and Eddard, like, they've both had, like, crazy tournaments so far.
Yeah, and they in past year, what is Banks is young, right? I don't know what grade he's in, but they just in past years, or is he has to be, like, he's younger, right?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure,
but in past years, like. Like you said, their guards weren't, like, very scary, I guess you could say. And that I guess that's kind of, like, one of the reasons he's a junior. But I guess that's one of the reasons why they've been able to succeed so much more this year versus last year.
I mean, that's, like, a big deal in the tournament. Like, you could have a great team, but if you have poor guard play, like, a great team can go, like, can lose early, which is kind of what happened with Kentucky. I mean, they had the National Player of the Year in the paint, but they can't beat St. Peter's because their guards did not play well. And, I mean, give credit to St. Peter's defense, but, like, it's huge to have guards that can make shots. Like, Banks was making, like, very, very difficult shots during the end of that Kentucky game.
Eddard was, too.
Eddard was, too, yeah.
Floater,
no, he had a couple of huge, he had that floater, he had a couple of huge threes in overtime.
And Eddard hasn't even really been, like, a starter, too.
He's been off the bench. I think he came off the bench both games.
Yeah.
But he's played a ton.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I guess it's part of that, like, team of destiny. And then part of that's just, like, I think enough couldn't be said about Holloway, too, how he's, like, prepared them for this. And everything he says, he's so confident, too, like, in the press conferences and stuff, like, saying that. Like, this isn't tough for us. Like
he has gotten them to believe that they are they belong
better than everyone else.
They belong to be in the Sweet. Like they belong more so than anyone else in that like locker room or in that in that
and that's like
left in the tournament.
That's like what coaching is, I guess. That's what like leadership and management and stuff is. Like somehow convincing his team that they belong against Kentucky. You know, like I feel like there's not every coach can do that. Not every coach has the ability to do that. And it's interesting too, just in coaching, how because I saw people tweeting it that like Ed Cooley, I thought it was very smart how he like convinced his team that basically everyone was rooting and picking against them in the first round.
This is true. I picked against them as well.
Yeah, and then like he was able to like kind of reverse psychology motivate his team by saying that like everyone's picking against you, even though they're the four seed.
But
by saying
I mean, they have had
you.
A lot of. Not hate, but, like, yeah, I guess hate go their way for close games and all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, even their seed was a little like, was a little
and now, I mean, just in tournament talk in general, now Providence finds himself in a very,
very
favorable situation.
Advantageous division. I mean, they beat Kansas. They're on a fast track to the Final Four.
Yeah.
They got 11 or a 10.
Yeah, exactly. They find themselves, I mean, obviously they got to beat Kansas,
which
is
a big,
not hard.
Big ass. But,
or, which
I mean,
is not easy, sorry. But if they beat Kansas, their next round game should be very manageable, and then they can go to the Final Four.
And, like, so. To think about that at the beginning of the year, the way Fairfield played them first game, it's like that's a Final Four team, right? Like, a possible Final Four team right there.
I did not think they would have a good season. I mean, you talk about we played them pretty well, and they beat us by 40 the year before, and they didn't
their
make
team,
the tournament the
year
before.
Their team the year before was a lot worse than their team this year.
It's, I don't know. I guess it's just because maybe first game of the season.
Yeah, you got to get
whatever.
The kinks out. And they had a lot of transfers, so it's like getting rotations right. But just like,
I didn't expect them to have this season, though, the season they've had. So that's interesting. But St. Peter's, they play Friday at 7:09 p.m. against Purdue. I was hoping that Texas could have won and they would play Texas. But they got to play Purdue. Pretty hard matchup. Purdue's a pretty good team. Purdue's also the highest seed left in that region.
I mean, that's like the chaos region, right? I mean, there's a couple chaos regions. Like, that and Providence region are both, like, kind of in chaos.
Yeah.
you have a 15-8-4-3, and then you have a 11-10-1-4.
UNC is not a bad
great eight. And UCLA is also a very good. Like, for how crazy those seedings are, you got a couple blue bloods in there that are, like, very talented.
And then Purdue is obviously a very solid team as well.
They'll be tough for them. It'll definitely be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Even if they can pull out against Purdue, like, the Elite Eight game would be very difficult.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, they're playing with
gravy.
House money.
Yeah,
like, it's
everything else is gravy. I mean, they're in if they win, they're in uncharted territory for anyone ever. It's like history.
Right? Yeah, and if they lose, they're still going to be remembered forever.
Yeah, they're still, like, people are considering them the best 15 seed ever.
Yeah, they've already made history. People are saying it's one of the biggest upsets ever in college basketball, too, the Kentucky upset. So it's like they've already made history. They're going to be remembered forever. And, you know, Holloway's probably already guaranteeing himself a big contract.
Oh.
Apparently at Seton Hall.
Yeah, I was going to say, someone tweeted out, like, as he won the round of 32 game, was like, he's about to get a big offer from
Seton Hall.
It's, like, hard to focus on the game when you have people in your...
Yeah, and Seton Hall's coach just went to Maryland, so...
And I think, he was the one that recommended. He left and was like...
You got to get him.
Was like, Shaheen Holloway would be a great pickup for Seton Hall, and it's his alma mater, obviously.
Yeah, he would be a good pickup for...
Oh, he'd be a great coach.
For Seton Hall, so... They've already etched themselves in the record books and everything, and, you know, everything from here on out would be crazy. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll be cheering for them on Friday. And, you know, hopefully they can pull out another W. But if not, I mean, it's still an amazing, amazing achievement for them. And for the MAC, it's super cool because a lot of people... Yeah, a lot of people probably never heard of St. Peter's. A lot of people never heard of the MAC, probably.
And
never heard of the MAC, but they don't really, they're not familiar with the MAC.
Forever, people will see St. Peter's be playing and be like, oh, St. Peter's is on. Like,
is that
be,
team? Yeah. Like Florida Gulf Coast. Like,
yeah.
we have no reason to know Florida Gulf Coast.
Oral Roberts, like whenever you see Oral Roberts, you're like, oh, Oral Roberts is playing.
We have no reason to know them, but you see them and you still remember, you know, back. Oral Roberts was last year, but Florida Gulf Coast.
It was like 10 years ago.
It was a long time ago, and you still remember, you know.
Remember the highlights from their games, like, all that stuff.
So I think that's going to do it for us. Do you have anything else to add?
No.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Hopefully next week we have Frank on and do a full season wrap-up of Fairfield basketball and an outlook for next year. So from here on out, you know, we'll be rooting for St. Peter's in the tournament. But congratulations to the women's team of Fairfield for winning the MAC and having a phenomenal season. And thank you all for listening. We're glad to be back on WVOF 88.5 FM. Follow us at Red Sea Radio on Twitter. Keep up with our tweets. And we'll be back here next week, same time, Wednesday at 2 p.m. So thanks for listening. For Kyle and Jack, it's been Red Sea Radio. We'll leave you off, as we always do, by saying, go Stags. Thanks for listening to Red Sea Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio to follow along all week with our tweets and let us know how we did. Make sure to tune in next week as we review the entire Fairfield men's basketball season. Enjoy your week, and as always, go Stags.